Talk. Fabulous finds.
Brian asking on the email whether the whaling interview will be podcasted. Certainly will, Brian. All of today's interviews will be shared on our social media channels and website. Now, we're doing something a little different for Fabulous Finds today. Normally, we invite you to nominate a person, place, or business which you think of as a hidden gem of Cape Town. And you're still very welcome to keep those nominations coming by email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. But today, we thought, seeing as we're broadcasting from outside of Cape Town, we'd hunt for our own fabulous finds from this part of the world. And we found two to share with you today, local businesses that we think meet the brief of hidden gems. One makes delectable handmade chocolate, the other the kind of real, unadulterated honey that Wendy Nola was yearning for in last week's consumer segment. And I want to thank both of the local entrepreneurs for joining us today at our OB unit. We're first going to say hello to Gaspard Basu of Gaboli Chocolates here in Betty's Bay, and then a little bit later we'll chat to Sunra Mostert of Fynbos Enterprises in nearby Pringle Bay. Gaspard, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
How long have you been running Gaboli Chocolates?
Gaboli Chocolates has been going for about on to touching 20 years now.
Okay.
But it's always been a one-man show. I've always done it to myself around.
It's a one-man operation.
It's a one-man operation, and also that tells you the name Gaboli. Means yep. My first name is Gaspard, G-A-B-O, Gaboli, B-O, Bossert.
Is your surname,
and,
yeah.
And L-I means limited. I only have two hands, and I can only make so much.
Gaspard Bossert Limited, and there we get Gaboli Chocolates. What actually brought you to Betty's Bay? Because I'm guessing from your accent you're not from here originally.
No, I was born and bred in Belgium. I've been a very long time in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And at one stage I was working in corporate life, and I saw the opportunity of starting a little restaurant. It's always been my background and my hobby and so on like this. I bought a restaurant in Betty's Bay, and that's where I started making chocolate. And the rest is just standing on the table right in front of you.
I love it when an interview starts with someone sitting down and presenting me with a chocolate-covered platter, or three in this case. I mean, I believe you were making your own truffles for the restaurant. You were following a magazine recipe, sort of trial and error stuff, and one day one of your customers said, I think you can do better. Tell us what happened.
What actually happened is I was making a little chocolates, you know, for Christmas lunch the first year we had the restaurant over there. And as the lunch was finished and so on, I had some truffles left. One of the clients said, hey, we forgot to buy some gift to take with. Can you sell us some chocolates, please? So that was quite neutral. That very morning, I was given a bottle of wine as a Christmas present. So I was wrapping on it, grabbed the wrapper, put the chocolates into a little wrapper, and boom, voila, that was it.
That was happy. Your first sale.
That was my first sale. Getting home that afternoon, I said to my wife, Violet, oh, this is fantastic, you know, when it's a bit quieter and so on, especially in winter, it does go quieter, you know. Mm. Let's start making chocolates. And we started making chocolates in the restaurant. Kept the restaurant for 10 years and sold it and stayed on with the chocolates, which I'm doing right now.
There is a London chocolatier, though, called Edward Volmore, I think,
absolutely.
Who comes into the story.
Absolutely, yeah? Absolutely. We were doing the chocolates for about 2 years already, and one day we were making lunch. My son was at the front as a maitre d', right? He says, Dad, there's a chocolatier in the restaurant. Oh, great. So I'd love to chat with him, right? Because everything I'd been learning on the internet and books and this and so on, more trial and error. So anyhow, we went to meet him. He finished his lunch and he says, can I show you? Where do you make it? That chap taught me in a half a day more than I learned in 3 years. And yeah. We became great friends, and eventually, you know, he invited me over to London, worked with him in a different chocolatiers in London and in Belgium, and to be the greatest of friends. He's my chocolate dad.
So you've got a chocolate dad, you've got Belgian blood, and I mean, what a combination, because of course we all know the best chocolate in the world. Well, the Swiss might argue, but the Belgians certainly give them a run for their money. How do you source your raw materials? I mean, you're in a fairly remote location here in Betty's Bay. It's not too far from the big city, but it's not like you can walk into the local store and buy all kinds of exotic ingredients.
Well, a lot of things takes planning. It's all around planning. Or everyone can buy chocolate, you know, a Belgian chocolate in South Africa, I buy couverture. I don't manufacture chocolate. I'm not a chocolate maker. You know, I'm a chocolatier.
Yeah.
So in other words, I get a bulk chocolate, I melt it, mold it, temperate, mold it, right, and make the different, as you can see, the different truffles and pralines and so on like this, right? And which is a career on its own, or a job on its own.
Yeah. Now talk to me about the variety, because you've got a platter in front of us. We are taking some photos to tweet, and I can't wait to taste them after
lovely,
the interview.
Lovely.
But it's a huge variety that you produce. Can you give us a sense of the scope of what you do?
Right, the ones I did this morning, especially for you guys, you know, which I knew was coming here for the invitation. Once again, thank you very much. I did some strawberries.
They're strawberries that look like penguins. I don't know if it's really a penguin,
but then I look like tuxedos. So you can take them out and pass them on and have a taste for everybody. Tell us a little bit about what you do. And then the truffles, you know, I make the little balls as such, which I made my own machine there. I was fortunate to be able to buy some mulch in Ireland. And then the spinning machine I made myself here. My chocolate dad even took some machines back overseas, which is made on a spinning unit. I make the little balls, make my own ganache, do the own filling, and spike them off. As you can see, the way they're laid off now. For instance, this one here is Amarula. Mm-hmm. And if you see, many of the truffles are normally smooth when you open the packet up, right? You see the way the rustique finish off
on
such,
it, yeah.
Yeah, which I do by hand, you know, on the marble, and that gives that little bit of extra. And I do not carry huge big stocks, you know, it's a lot when people come in and order, etc. Like this, you know, it's got to be special. It's got to come from the heart, otherwise it's not worth it.
It really is handcrafted.
Absolutely.
It's a work of art as well as a work of art on the palate. I mean, I've just had a little nibble of the strawberry, and the chocolate is just, it's smooth and creamy and beautiful. As you said, you need it to be fresh to enjoy it. It's handmade. You're not putting in preservatives or anything like that. It's just you. So you've got to. It's got to be difficult to manage. I mean, how do you know? You never know on a given weekend how many people are going to come through your doors. How do you manage to balance your stock?
Gasport Boss are limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the limited part of it is only so much there, right? Yep. And that's it. You know, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's unfortunate, right? But many of people I had this morning, people who are arriving from the States again. And they let us know, so they wanted the coffee variant, so it was ready for them and so on. And it's a nice way, you know, of welcoming people. You get a phone call, we come in, can we have a look at this and so on like this. And people are always very much welcome at the house, which is the way I make my living.
So they can come and watch the process as well as buying the chocolate to take away.
But also do some tasting and also do some work together. We do some spiking together, we do some tempering together. You know, and especially the people from overseas and so on, which they're not used to doing it, you know, give them gloves and you get involved, you know, and make some chocolate and onto the marble, you know, it's exciting.
What a fantastic experience. The variety of flavors you work with is quite extraordinary. I have to ask you about blue cheese chocolate.
Yes.
Did somebody ask for that, or did you just go, let's see what happens if we put the two together?
That's what happens 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep. You come up with those ideas, right? But if you think about it, after a meal, one has cheese, right? And then with the coffee, you have chocolate. So both made with milk. So I thought putting the two things together. I also make a Fynbos, for instance. I make a Fynbos chocolate. Fynbos right coming out of the mountains, right here around Betty's Bay. You know, why be normal, you know? And I test it out, and it works. The blue cheese, I have a regular client in Amsterdam.
Really?
Yeah, they come once a year over, then they take it back with it, and it's on a regular basis. I'm often sent to them as well by mail.
Okay, fantastic. I have somebody asking, so how do we order from you? If you have to come to the shop, taste, and order there, or can you go onto the website and order
there? There's a website. They can welcome to call us or to phone us, right? We'll talk from there.
Okay.
Make a plan, because chocolates, you know, is not something you put into a little packet and boom, there it goes. Because, you know, one has to keep thinking about the heat and the heat waves and whatever, right? And, you know, but we make a plan.
Got to be stored and shipped very carefully.
I send on a regular basis to the States, you know, do specific chocolates into the States, right? And, you know, we play it, you know, when is it going to be cooler? How do we send it, you know, and it works.
Also would be remiss in not mentioning you do a fantastic version of a diabetic chocolate, which
is
very popular.
Yes, I do.
And what's different about that? Because I know a lot of people complain that diabetic chocolate alternatives have a funny aftertaste and they're just not the same. What do you do differently?
I use maltitol instead of sugar.
Maltitol
instead of sugar. Unfortunately, it's a little bit more expensive than some of this, right? But it's pretty difficult to realize and just say, this is this one and this is that one. I catch my wife at Violet every single time. I say, which is which, you know?
And she can't tell which is the diabetic version and which is the sugar
Forget
version. That's the best recommendation you can ask for. Right, so the website you're looking for is Gaboli, spelled GABOLI.CO.ZA.
Yes.
Gaboli Chocolates is the name of the business. If you're passing through Betty's Bay, you want to find them on the corner of Delport Road and Porter Road. And I want to thank you so much for bringing in some samples of the few little bites I've managed to have while you were talking have been outstanding. Look forward to tasting a few more after we conclude the show today. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
With that, let me hand over to our second fabulous find from the local area. We're going a few kilometres up the road towards neighbouring Pringle Bay to meet Sunra Mostert, who is a beekeeper who runs Fynbos Enterprises. Sunra, thank you for coming in to join us today, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
How did you become a beekeeper in the first place?
I was in the police for 10 years, and I left the police when my first child was born. And in this area, there's not much that you can do. And that is how I became a beekeeper.
You had to look for an alternative, and you made it for yourself.
Absolutely. Okay. And, you know, in this area, there is we have probably one of the biggest floral kingdoms in the world, which is perfect for beekeeping. And there's no pesticides that get sprayed here, so it's a nice, clean environment to keep them. And at this stage, we don't do a lot of pollination, so we basically focus on honey, not really pollinating.
Yeah.
And that gives us a nice, clean, fynbos product just from this area. Between our house at this stage is between Royals and Petty's Bay. So we try to just stick to the area, and that helps a lot. It gives it a very unique taste that you can only find here.
How many hives have you got?
At this stage, not nearly enough. I have about 60 hives, which is not nearly enough. But we're lucky due to the lots of flowers there is, and due to the fact that we don't have a shortage of rain, they do very well. You know, one hive can produce like 45 kilos of honey if you're lucky.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I know it is. I mean, I think many listeners might not be aware of just how many bees it takes to make just a little bit of honey. It's a communal effort that requires a huge communal input.
Absolutely. You know, in this area even more so because we have a lot of wind. Mm. So the bees really have to work very hard to produce the honey. And I think that maybe we don't respect it always enough, you know, the labor that goes into it.
Sandra, I know there's been a lot of exposure lately, not only on our show, but on Carte Blanche this past weekend about honey that claims to be pure honey and isn't pure honey. It's got syrup added to it and all kinds of fibs on the labeling. You are very much a pure honey maker. It's from your own hive, bottled here in the area and sold directly through markets, etc.
No,
in this area?
No? At this stage, I only sell from my shop.
Only from your shop,
yes.
Okay.
And this is my brand. It's called Hunk Club Honey.
Okay.
And my shop is based in Pringle Bay. It's called Fynbos Enterprises. And unfortunately, my customers have to drive. And they do.
They're prepared to do come all this way because they know they're getting the real thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You don't only produce just the honey, although just the honey itself looks, I mean, you can see that jar is packed full of real goodness. There's no separation. There's no wateriness. It's just solid golden honey that I can't wait to taste. You use the byproducts too. I see a beeswax candle in front of me. How extensive is your range there?
What we do is we make a couple of products. The one is a pure beeswax candle, and the nice thing about that is it burns clean. It doesn't give off any toxins into the environment. And then we also make a honey liqueur. Mm-hmm. The Fynbos honey of this area have such a unique taste that you don't really that we don't have to add anything to bring more flavor into the liqueur. We just use the honey as is. And then we also make moisturizing candles, which we make with beeswax, soya wax, and coconut oil, which you can burn, and then you use the oil on your skin.
Okay.
We make lip balms that we use beeswax and honey and coconut oil for, and we make a range of soaps and various other products like moisturizers and shampoos and conditioners. But all of that we just sell from the shop.
From the shop in Pringle Bay.
In Pringle Bay,
okay,
yes.
So if somebody wants to drive through for the weekend and pop in to visit you en route in Pringle Bay, where do they find the shop?
Pass Road.
Pass Road.
Yeah, Fynbos Enterprises, Pass Road, Pringle Bay.
And I'm going to ask both of you in closing, if you can just share the microphone there, Gaspard and Sunro, about the challenges of doing business in a small town. As you said, Sunro, this was a business that grew out of necessity because you couldn't find other employment opportunities. Gaspard, your story is a little bit different in that it was a business that grew out of passion for what you were doing previously. But what are the biggest challenges for both of you of being in a slightly remote location, selling a pretty specialized product which doesn't have broad market access as you would have in a big city?
To me, I think it's actually quite simple. It's quality. And at the end of the day, you know, if you produce quality, you know, people are going to call for it, that type of stuff, right? I'm not in, you know, once again, I go back to the Gaboli store, the Limit store, you know, Limited store. I'm not looking for big volumes, new things, that type of stuff. You know, I want people to come in with a smile, you know, enjoy. Hey, we were so-and-so told us about it, right? We'll do like this, we'll do like that. It boils down to one simple thing, the big Q, quality. Quality in drinks to people. There's no doubt in my mind.
And you, Sandra?
I would say definitely quality, but also relationships.
Yes.
You know, you need to build a relationship with your client. Your client sort of get to trust you, and that is how you sell your product. And that client will always bring you a new client. And that's how you grow the business. I mean, at this stage, I sell honey right through the country due to that fact.
So word of mouth. When you say you sell right through the country, do you get orders? Do you have a website, or how do you?
No,
because you said you only sell from the shop in Pringle Bay. So how does it get elsewhere?
Well, Pringle Bay is a holiday destination.
Yeah.
So what happens is people come down from Gauteng, and so they will take like 10 buckets with them.
Wow.
And things like that, you know, to make sure that it lasts them for the year. Because luckily, honey doesn't go off. So it's something with a very long shelf life. And that is how I spread my products.
Okay. So if you want to come and try them for yourself, I hope we're sending a whole lot of Cape Talk listeners on a road trip to the Whale Coast this weekend. And their first stop is going to be in Pringle Bay. Pop along to Pass Road and visit Fynbos Enterprises to buy your honey by the bottle full, by the bucket load, and some liqueur, which we're looking forward to tasting afterwards. And then you're going to carry on to Betty's Bay a little bit further down the road along the R44 and look for Gaboli Chocolates on the corner of Delport Road and Porter Road. And go and do some tasting, maybe temper a little bit of chocolate with Gaspard and have a wonderful chocolate making experience. I want to thank both of you for coming in to join us today and wish you both the best of luck and success with your businesses. Great to meet you.
Thank you, Peba. Thank you.